This is Freddie Garcia
and Ethan Warshawski
from Shaman Elect, and you're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Lou Lombardi. Everybody else calls me Ludini because it is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Today we have Shaman Elect on today. We're going to talk to those guys, and they will correct me on the correct pronunciation. The great, very cool band, experimental, bringing in different flavors of like some jazz and dance kind of stuff and rock and some cool guitar, this electronica. You guys are really going to dig it, so I'm looking forward to talking with Ethan and Freddie here in a second. But first, you are listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. You can go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com to check out the website there. And the reason you want to do that is two reasons. When you run across cool podcasts like this with artists that you really dig, this gives you opportunity to share. You want to share the podcast that you like because that gets your friends and everybody that's following you on social media interested as well. So this is how music promotion happens in 2018, okay? So when you hear bands like Shaman Elect, they're going to fix me on this one here. You go ahead and go just hit the share button and tell all your friends about how awesome they are, and that's how we do it. That's the number one reason you want to visit LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. The other reason is we've got like a little merchandise thing going on there, and it helps us do a little more promotion and grow the podcast a bit. So if you click the little merchandise section in the upper right hand corner of the screen, there's some cool t-shirts and mugs and shot glasses and all kind of cool stuff. So check that out there, all at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. All right, we have Ethan and Freddie on. Guys, so welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Good. All right, and tell me that again. I'm calling it, it's Shaman Elect.
That's right, Shaman Elect.
I've heard people say Shaman, and I think that's why I'm getting myself screwed up. Shaman Elect. Okay, sorry about that. Yes, I have used the English language before. Ethan is synths and vocals, and Freddie is guitar and vocals, and they are you guys are sort of like the heart and soul of the band. You guys are the ones that got the thing going, right?
Yeah, we started the band together last year, at the beginning of last year. But, you know, right off the bat, before our first show, we brought on Sarah, who's our lead vocalist, and Mike Malkowski, who's our drummer. And Sarah is actually Ethan's younger sister. And Mike is also a close friend of ours. So it's really the four of us that have been together since our first show here in Brooklyn.
Cool, man. All right, so let's go ahead. Let's get to know you guys a little bit. Ethan, why did you get interested in music in the first place? Enough to want to play and pursue it somewhat professionally here.
Well, I played trumpet back in elementary school, and I always loved it. And I never really had the confidence to like jam. I always wanted to just pick it up and play. And then I could read music, but that just wasn't a skill that I had. And then I kind of let that go, and in my 20s, I realized that I just really want to learn theory. I really wanted to be a musician. I wanted that skill, and I just taught myself to play the bass, and then I taught myself to play the piano, and around that time, I met Alfredo, and he studied jazz theory, and you know, he has a very academic relationship with music, and that kind of started our friendship, and from there on out, that's where Shaman Elect really grew.
What about you, Freddie?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been playing instruments as I was like young, piano and then guitar throughout high school. And then when I was at school in college, I actually studied music. I ended up like getting a minor in music from UNC, and that's where I learned more of like the jazz theory, and I took classes in jazz improv. And so ultimately that's kind of when I started playing in bands and you know, jamming with people. And so then when I moved up to New York and I met Ethan, and Ethan at the time, he was making electronic music. So he, like, right when we met, he showed me some of his tracks that he had put together. And I was like, huh, like, that electronic sound would be interesting to combine it with, like, more, you know, jazz, rock, guitar. And, you know, that's kind of what kicked off our friendship, and we started jamming together. And ultimately, you know, right from the get-go, I had a couple songs that I had written, he had a couple songs that he had written, and it was easy for us to quickly get a project going.
Usually with musicians, there's other music that they're listening to that inspires them, that kind of gets them kind of like started. So, Ethan, what was that for you? I see you were playing the trumpet. Were there artists that you were listening to? Was there music you were listening to that made you like kind of pine for like to pursue that more improvisational and songwriting kind of thing that you're doing now?
Well, my inspiration back when I was playing the trumpet when I was very young were the classics. My parents have an excellent taste in music, and I was exposed to the Beatles, the Bob Marley. Electric Light Orchestra was actually a huge influence, the Traveling Wilburys, a lot of those older classics. But then when I got a little older, it turned into electronic music, and I really found a home with that brooding kind of electronic sound like Daft Punk, Aphex Twin, Boards of Canada. And those are the sounds that I really wanted to bring to life in today's modern music scene. Those kind of to take those thunderous and emotional electronic sounds, but also add that musicianship to it, and also complex songwriting.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you guys definitely have some very cool arrangements in the way that the instruments sort of interplay with each other in a very... how do I say? There's no, everybody's in their space. That's why I said before we started the podcast, I said just what kind of what you guys do in some areas reminds me of the Police a little bit. And that was a band where everybody was in their space. You know, there was like, you know, very good use of all the textures in a way that comes together, makes a complete sound. What about you, Freddie? What were you listening to? What was because again, you know, it's usually not just an academic interest in music. It's usually you're listening to something and you're like, oh yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think like most people have gone through phases. In high school, it was like very big into the Beatles and the Chili Peppers. And then kind of later into high school and starting college, I got really into the whole improv rock scene, you know, like the whole scene that was spearheaded by the Grateful Dead and then by Phish. And then the more recent guys like Humphreys McGee and the String Cheese Incident. Those were all the bands that I was into in college. For me, it was all about the live show and the live improvisation. Like me and all my friends, like that's what we were kind of crazy over. And then once I started studying jazz at school, that's when like I got exposed to Django and to Joe Pass and to Pat Metheny, and you know that's where like it became a bit more academic. And ultimately, right when I met Ethan, which was like right after college, I was kind of in that phase where I was, you know, I still loved all the bands that I followed closely in college, but I was, you know, starting getting just more into jazz. And so from our standpoint, that's how we started really talking about music, because Ethan literally just read 2 music theory books, and he was just like eager to like discuss it with someone. And I had studied the stuff, so we just started communicating through jazz and like, you know, jazz vocabulary, and ultimately that's how all of these songs kind of came together, was like really just talking about, oh, let's play in this mode and let's think about, yeah, like we're going to have these very, you know, clearly written out parts to songs, but we want to make sure that we leave open area for just like playing in the moment. And so that's really where the sound came, a combination of those 2 things.
It's very good. It's really well, this is very well put together. So I want to play a track now. This is the first track that opens the your latest album, and we're just gonna go ahead and give us a listen, and we're gonna come back in a minute and talk some more. But Woman in Black, guys, check this out. Shaman Elect, Woman in Black on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
dark. I know it's cold. Take my hand and bring me a stone. You don't need a jump, you don't need a rope. Take a step back from the window. This woman of yours, she's got your head mixed. She's not for you, at least not yet.
Okay, who writes the words?
So we co-write all the songs in the album. Either were written by Ethan or myself. Woman in Black, the lyrics were written by Ethan.
Okay.
Except for I think the outro chorus I wrote, and then in terms of music, it was also kind of put together by the band.
Yeah. And you guys mentioned earlier, you know, leaving some room for improvisation. Is that something that happens more like in the live show? Do you guys allow it to sort of, develop, or how does that work?
Yeah. In the live show, you know, we definitely do a lot of improv. In the studio, the way that the album came together, it also allowed us to do that a lot because we spent our first 2 days just the three of us playing through our tracks in in the studio. And so as we were, each song has at least one section that is open. And so we just, you know, we were recording everything we did, and it allowed us to really improv kind of in the studio, and then turn that into sections in the album. So each song, it's really a combination. There's a lot of parts that are, you know, written out carefully, and then a lot of parts that are left open.
Okay. Awesome. So who did you guys, is this self-produced or did you work with somebody on this?
Yeah. So we produced the album, Ethan and myself. We worked with an audio engineer here in Brooklyn out of King Killer Studios named Dave Bunting. So he recorded, mixed, and mastered for us.
Mind the Ether. Is that it?
That's right.
Okay, cool. Why don't you hit me with a few other, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the highlights, because we played Woman in Black. Is there any other standout tracks that you guys want to sort of talk about for a minute?
Yeah, so Freddie was mentioning that I was making my own tracks, and one of the tracks that I had written before I met him, Incompletion, was the last song on the album, March of the Warriors. And I really wanted to make a song that was like this jazz rock anthem, something that combined the musicianship of jazz, but it was really fast rhythm sections. But also I wanted to make something that had like the appeal of a huge, mega, jaw-dropping like drop that you would expect at an electronic music festival. And when we were recording that, the part where the song just really blows up at the end, I really wanted to capture an incredible synth sound that would really just get everyone excited. And I didn't know what it was going to be, but during the recording session, we really just opened it up into this creative space, and the song just opened up, and it really took it to a new place. So that's like a very proud moment for me.
You wanna add anything?
I mean, I think there are certain songs that are just a lot of fun for us to play through because they don't repeat, right? You have certain tracks that are kind of verse, chorus, bridge sort of structures, traditional structures. But there's a few, March of the Warriors being one of them, where it just kind of goes in one direction. And so when we're playing these songs live, it's a lot of fun because every new part that's coming, you only get to play it once. And it just allows you to put everything you can into that part, you know, knowing that you're not going to come back to it. So for us, like those songs are March of the Warriors, Life Ruining Drugs is another one, are just, you know, a lot of fun to play live. And when we did them in the studio, you know, we were just like really geeked out about being able to do it in like the perfect sonic environment, you know.
Of course. And that is that's a very cool concept to do. And because a lot of bands are hemmed in, you know, it's just the way we maybe, you know, because we're so used to listening to popular music, you grow up with, you know, that with, you know, with the structure, the pop structure. And so what made you guys feel like you could break out of that? Is it your jazz roots?
You know, I think it's a combination of both jazz and electronica. And I think ultimately, because we each, you know, like we each listen to very different music, we didn't really feel that, oh, we have to follow this specific, you know, recipe for songwriting. It was like, oh, well, I write music like this. And I was like, oh, well, I write music like this. And it was like, well, ultimately, it doesn't really matter. Just write music how you feel the song requires. And so ultimately, with the skill set that we had, you know, with Sarah's vocals, and Sarah has like a very unique, she can sound very jazzy at times, or she can sound, you know, like a pop star in her singing. Mike is a highly technical, skilled drummer. We would literally give Mike a beat that we created on the drum machine, the TR-8 drum machine, and like within 10 seconds, he can just like replay it almost exactly. So when you have that sort of talent that you're working with, it becomes really easy to be adventurous and, you know, try to think about what you can do creatively, and then you have people that can execute it. So for us, like, it's, you know, it's been obviously like a very fun experience being able to do pretty much whatever we can dream of with these songs and then having the people that can execute it.
Well, it shows that there's real musicianship. I mean, it's something that you hear, I think, from the first note, you know, the first bar or so of any track that, you know, I listen to from you guys. It's like these guys really know. They're like, I don't want to say musicians in a sense, because I don't want to alienate people who, you know, have more pop interests. But I mean, there is that it's just if you're a musician and you hear this, you know, these guys know their stuff. You know, it's really just, yeah, it's, yeah. And you're listening. Everybody's playing together.
Thank you. Thanks for saying that.
So, anyway, so what does the next 6 to 12 months look like for you guys? What's coming up?
Yeah, for us, I mean, I think we love songwriting. So I think, you know, since we stepped out of the studio for Mind the Ether, we've been talking about the next album. You know, we have some pretty cool and already, you know, thought out ideas for what we want to do.
Excellent.
I think our approach this time is going to be, we want to get a couple singles out there, a couple new singles, hopefully in the fall, that really cement our sound. We're also, you know, like we're also just gear geeks. Like we love to have like high quality sound. And when we got into the studio with Dave, our audio engineer, like it allowed us to really get some really cool sounds on tape. And for us, like that's something that we want to keep playing with. We want to keep playing with bass sounds and drum sounds and songwriting. So I think we're gonna kind of huddle up and get a couple new tracks together quickly.
Cool.
And we, you know, we live here in Brooklyn, so the opportunity to play is abundant, which is great for us. So, you know, I think we're going to strategically keep trying to find some cool shows and some cool clubs with great sound where we can keep trying out our music.
How's the audience reaction with, you know, some of this kind of more experimental I don't want to use that. That isn't a good word. But this type of songs that build, you know, that are that don't repeat. Are people like, are they, you know, are you finding people kind of getting into that?
Yeah, I think people certainly are. They're surprised and they're interested.
Okay.
The consistent theme is definitely that there's joy to be found for any listener, regardless if it's in the musicianship or in the storytelling or the lyrics, or maybe it just gets you dancing. And yeah, that's something that we would love for people to enjoy. We intentionally make music that we want to kind of like get you to think or maybe make you a little uncomfortable. Hmm. That's what we want to do. So if it's, yeah, most of the time it's making people be like, huh, or that's interesting, or you know, I like this. And if it makes someone want to listen to it again, I think that we've been successful.
Well, I don't know what more you can say about it than that. That's the whole thing. You want to make them come back and listen to some more. So very good. Guys, I really, really enjoyed the music. I enjoyed talking to you guys about it. We could, you know, guys are totally, you know, I don't want to say the word music nerds, but it's very obvious that you guys are like really, you know your shit about music. You can really play and you know all the theory and the way the instruments work. You have great ears for it. And I just, when I hear a band that does that, you know, instead of just pounding out, you know, four chords, it's just a kind of a real joy to listen to. So I really appreciate having you guys on, and I wish you guys all the best. You got a minute? I need to wrap up the podcast. I need to do a little business with you when we're done. You guys got a minute to hang out?
Yeah, definitely. And thanks a lot for having us. You know, when we see people like you that are helping new artists, you know, get their name out there, it's great, because it's a cluttered scene, right? There's so much music out there, and anything that can help, you know, young and emerging artists break through is highly appreciated. So thanks a lot, Lou. Really, really thank you for your time.
Not a problem, guys. All right, we'll be right with you here in a minute. Guys, you want to check out Shaman Elect, and you can go to shamanelect.com, shamanelect.com, and there's videos and the links to all the good stuff, the Twitters, the Facebooks, all that stuff is there, the YouTubes, all that stuff is there. So check those guys out, shamanelect.com. A great band in the sense, not just in the sense of the songwriting, but in the sense of the just absolute stunning, stellar musicianship between Ethan, Freddie, Mike, and Sarah. Just a killer band. And if you guys are in the Brooklyn area, please go check them out live. I would love to see them, because I think this is probably like a really powerful show. So find that all out at shamanelect.com. Guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Click over to our website when you get a chance at ludinirockandrollcircus.com. Please share the podcast that you like, and please pick yourself up a little bit of merchandise. We do appreciate it. Helps us do a little bit more with what we got here. So you can find that at ludinirockandrollcircus.com. Guys, it's been a great time. I really enjoyed the band. Shaman Elect, I could just go on and on and on. Just blew me away. So check them out, and thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.com.